This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
They're back.
Happy New Year, Tom.
Well, hi, Miss...
Deacon Tom.
Hi, Miss 2015. You do not have to call me Deacon, but if you just kiss my ring, that would...
Oh, gee.
There was a lady who used to come out from Mass and used to kiss my hand often. And I actually told her to stop. But she
nicely
said...
Nicely told her to stop.
Yeah, no, I did. And she said, "You touch the body of Christ. That's why I kiss your hand."
Oh,
isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
It is. It really is. Well, dear friends, welcome to Catholic Vitamins 2015. 5.5 years, and we're back with enthusiasm and excitement in the new year.
We took a little bit of a break. Didn't podcast right after Christmas. But we're back.
We are.
And we might add that North Central Arizona mountains got a dump of snow New Year's Eve day.
This is for us a major snowfall. It's still here on the ground outside. What is it, 5 days, 6 days?
Yes. In fact, I looked out at our patio table and I thought, it doesn't look any different than it did New Year's Eve.
I know.
I mean, I used that as my measuring point.
And the table
measured,
out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I measured, the last measurement I did was on New Year's morning. And it was 11 and a half inches.
My goodness. Well, we are not used to that. And we have somebody who's coming from Pennsylvania in about 3 weeks. And she thinks that she's going to escape the cold weather and snow.
We talked to her yesterday. We've been trying to gently tell her that you better bring your cold weather clothes because you might need them here too.
A little unusual for us, but thank you, dear Lord, for the moisture. Thank you for the gift of Christmas and the new birth of Jesus in our hearts. And thank you for the new year. And today is Epiphany. Dee, what does the word Epiphany mean? Father said it in his homily today.
You know, I was trying to tell the homebound lady that I went to see after Mass, and I couldn't remember the word. One word he used, show something.
Well, show or manifest.
Yes. Manifest. That's the word I was trying to think of.
Right.
And
right.
I couldn't think of it.
So Christ is made manifest as the Savior, as the long-awaited one, promised by the prophets in the Old Testament. And so Father gave a homily, and what he asked us in his homily this morning at the 9 o'clock Mass was, what gifts can you bring to Christ? How's that? That's very nice.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
It is.
I kept wondering all last week, when he was going to start moving the Magi closer and closer across the altar to the other side where the Nativity was. He didn't do it. Last year he did it. He moved them a little bit. This year he didn't. He left them all the way over there and then brought them over just right this weekend.
He's got a lot on his mind, and he's a little preoccupied or disturbed or whatever. Well, Dee, this is Catholic Vitamin what?
Catholic Vitamin A. We're starting all over again.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, A for awareness.
Yeah. We had some guesses, but I don't think anybody got that.
I don't think we had a correct one, no.
Awareness. Are you aware of the gifts that we've been given? And are you aware of the gift of faith? And our guest will help us answer that in her own life. We're not going to tell you her name. This is going to be like our mystery guest is going to sign in. You remember that old TV show?
What's My Line?
Was that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I'm old.
Well,
I can remember all those things.
So I'm going to just say this as a tease to get your mind working. She's young. She is involved in several activities related to evangelization. She's an upcoming author. She's a public speaker, and she comes from a family that is known for its efforts in evangelization.
Yeah, you'll know about that.
Yeah, and it is, and I'm not going to say anymore.
That's right. This is a tease. This is a big tease.
All right. So stick with us. We're glad you're with us, and Happy New Year to you and the blessings of Epiphany. Dee, what do we have?
Well, I was going to add one more thing after we were talking about our snow.
Oh.
You know how we take sometimes we tend to take our blessings for granted.
Okay.
Well, Friday, our heat went out.
Oh, yes.
Our furnace went out.
Yes, it did.
And it got pretty chilly here in the house.
The outside temperature on the next morning was, I think, 8 degrees, which, again, is pretty unusual.
Yeah. And it was in the low 50s inside here.
54 degrees inside. And thanks be to God, there's an older craftsman in town. They did the original install on our furnace. And he came on a Saturday. Nobody else in his firm was working because they all wanted off for...
Bless his heart.
Yeah. So he came, and long story short, he got us going on an emergency basis, and we have something major that we have to replace. We'll know how big a deal that is later on. But he's got us going with some temporary heat, and we're in the 60s in the house.
Yeah. That and the combination of a couple of space heaters and our electric fireplace, that you know we can warm up a room when we're in there.
I just want to say, we'll make this the end of Prattle 1, D, that somebody reminded me when I was complaining about it being 54 in the house, somebody was saying to me, this is the way people had to live at one time, you know?
That's why I said, we take what we have for granted.
I can remember, talk about an old memory. Do I want any young woman to know that I have this memory?
Oh, just stop it. Just admit you're old.
Oh, gosh. Oh, here we go. I take verbal abuse. And anyway, I can remember my dad going down to the basement. Now, nowadays, most of us are not too used to basements, but going down to the basement where there was a coal chute, where the coal came down from the delivery person up in the driveway, and he would fill up the coal furnace, and he would fill it up at night about 10 o'clock or 10:30 before going to bed, trying to keep the fire going all night so the house would stay moderately warm.
Well, that reminds me, I grew up, my father ran a general store.
Yes.
Owned and ran a general store when I was growing up, and it was right next door to our house. And during the winter, he would have to go over at some ungodly hour of, 4 or 5 in the morning and go down to the basement and fire up that coal stove in order to get the store warmed up by the time he was ready to open at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I used to go over to the store to wait for the school bus. I'd walk from the house over to the store in the morning to wait for the school bus, and I'd go in and stand by the warm radiator waiting for the bus to come by.
Old memories for sure.
Yeah, I love those memories. I've written a lot of those memories down for our kids who might never know the story of things that we had when we grew up.
Our daughter Barbara down in Scottsdale, an hour and a half or so away from us, delights in telling some of the older memories that she has and then some of the ones that we've shared with our granddaughters, the younger granddaughters. They like listening to.
Oh, the granddaughters often ask us, can you tell us this or that about when Mom was little?
All right, dear friends, that's a long first prattle. We'll have to cut down some other places, but we'll be back.
Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Both of our CDs were performed and produced by the seminarians and mixed at Rocky Mountain Recorders here in Denver, Colorado. All the proceeds go to help fund and promote St. John Vianney Theological Seminary. They are available at all Denver area Catholic bookstores or online at www.sjvdenver.com. All of us here at St. John Vianney wish to thank you for your continued support of the seminary and of our formation. Our hope and prayer is that these albums lead you closer to the presence of God at work in your lives. We leave you with Panis Angelicus, recorded live at the Imago Dei Awards in 2003.
Well, that was a plug for the seminarians and the St. John Vianney Seminary in the Archdiocese of Denver. We will play Panis Angelicus a little later in the show, or a good portion of it, with the seminarians singing. And I would request that if you are interested in this sort of music, that you might consider going to the website address that the seminarian gave and consider buying one or both of the albums that they have on sale. I was formed for 4 years. Dee attended every class with me at the Archdiocese of Denver. I was ordained by then Archbishop Charles Chaput, and I am aware, speaking of our vitamin, I have great awareness of what a difference it made in my life to be formed there. Dee,
yes.
Is it time to talk about the book that we're promoting for a couple of weeks?
Yes.
I have in my hand Aaron's Ring, E-R-I-N, apostrophe S, Aaron's Ring, written by the wonderful author Laura H. Pearl, The Legacy of Love and the Power of Faith. I've completely read this book, and we had Laura on as our guest before the end of the year, sort of an extra show that we did to help us get through the last of the alphabet. And it was a joy to sort of meet her and to hear her journey and about the writing of the book. And I'm recommending it. We're going to do a drawing. We have been gifted with 3 copies, autographed copies, of her book. And we look forward to giving you listeners a chance to put your names in.
We got a nice plug from the publisher, Cheryl Deco of Bezalel Books, on LinkedIn. She said, Deacon Tom Fox invited author Laura Pearl to talk about Aaron's Ring on Catholic Vitamins podcast, Extra 10.
Well, there you go.
And then we got a little feedback from our friend Tim in Erie, Pennsylvania. He says, Dear Dee and Deacon Tom, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you so much for all that you do and your joyful enthusiasm for our Catholic faith. God bless you and Mariana, Sonia, Fergal, and Justin. What a blessing everyone is for all of us, your loyal podcast family. When I listen, I'm like you, Tom. I get emotional, and this heart of mine, not always the tenderest, turns tender, and I thank you for it. Sure would enjoy a copy of Aaron's Ring. Thank you, and God bless, Tim.
All right. Well, we'll put your name into one of these baskets that she started for these many names that are starting to come in. And if you'd like a chance for a wonderful young adult or adult book, which is written in the genre of Irish history in the United States back east in Dover, New Hampshire, then I think you'll really like this book, and particularly if you have somebody who's, I don't know, 10, 12, 14, who's going through the period of being a little uncertain of will they ever have a boyfriend, how much people will like them, do they have real friends. This is a great book, but it's written in a way that adults can appreciate the history that's in it and the construct of the fiction.
I am anxious to read it. It's on my nightstand, your copy.
All right.
But you know me, in my reading, you read like 10 to 20 books to my one.
Dear friends, just a second ago in the email that Dee shared was a mention of our correspondence. And Sonia has been doing some yeoman work to prepare segments for us. So Dee, if you're ready, I think we'll go to Sonia.
I'm ready.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins. Scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
And we're back. This is Sonia Corbett. We're talking about the soul of history and our liturgical calendars, or calendar one. We've been talking about all of our feast days, or the Old Testament feast days. And like the Old Testament Israelites, Catholics relive the action of God in history every single year through our liturgical year. We represent the gospel all the way from Christ's incarnation and birth to his passion and ascension, and then later his reign. In the spring, he enters the world in Mary's immaculate womb. In the winter, he's born, he's circumcised and named, and then he's raised in the Holy Family and meets his cousin John. And then he goes into the desert, and we go with him during Lent. We follow him through his passion, and then his resurrection, ascension, and then Pentecost. And now he reigns, and we're waiting with him for his second coming, as we prepare to celebrate again his first coming. Then the cycle begins again like a wheel that's been spinning for 2,000 years. And so when we participate in this spiral of remembrance and anticipation by celebrating the feasts of the church, God is living intimately in time and history with us. We're participating. Have you ever thought of yourself as having been created for a particular time in history? Well, Esther 4:14 says, "She was made for such a time as this, and so were you, and so was I." Do you rush through your life without paying attention much to the feast days of the church? I hope not, and I hope that as we talk about these more fully, that you'll come to understand them more, and you will enjoy and anticipate them more. So right now, we're going to talk about the first one, a sacred rest. Our key quote is, "You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you." Exodus 31:13. One of my favorite meditations of sacred time is of Millais' painting, The Angelus. I can almost see those church bells and hear them reminding us down the lane to take a short rest, a cleansing breath, you know, and to pray on the sixes and the twelves of every day. You know, a couple years ago, I bought a clock. It's a mantle clock, an antique one, and I just bought it to hear it chime, and I wanted to consider how the people prayed on those hours, and it just kind of draws me into that. I love it. There's so much interesting stuff to learn about these ceremonies and rituals, but for now, it's enough to say that proper worship was centered around that tabernacle, and it was in a set liturgical schedule of hours, days, weeks, months, and years that was supposed to keep the people's minds and hearts looking toward God and then anticipating His action in everything that they were doing in their everyday lives. As we saw earlier, there are many of those sacred times, but the first one is the Sabbath. We're going to talk about a principle we often wish were different, but I guess we're not going to be the ones for whom these ancient rules change, right? God is all wise, and He knows what we need, and don't we need rest, especially in our day and age, this busyness and this frantic action that we're constantly caught up in. Sabbath for the Old Testament people was a weekly time of gathering and offering and worship and rest. In fact, the word Sabbath actually means rest. And if you look at Exodus chapter 31, 14 through 17, it says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Ah, I love that idea. God rested. Now, He didn't need to rest. He was establishing our time schedule for us. So this Sabbath worship rest was a deliberate act of interference of God. He interrupted the work week with a decree of no work. Is that not refreshing? I mean, consider our weeks and how we cram them with all this activity and stuff we have to do. We got to do it. Got to do it. And here God commanded them to rest. That I just think, I don't know what you think of when you think of rest, but I think of mountain streams, my hammock and a book, long Sunday naps. The sign, remember, the Sabbath sign, because it was a sign, was to be observed forever. Does that mean like until Jesus comes or until the New Testament? No, it doesn't. When the Bible, though, talks about Sabbath, it's remembering creation. The scriptures about Sabbath, there are so many. I don't even have time to go through them all, but there are so many of them, and they all talk about remembering creation when God worked for 6 days and then He rested on the Sabbath. And if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 15, there's another important event associated with the Sabbath, and it was to recall God's work in creation, but also His rescue of the people from Egyptian slavery. At the end of this grueling work week for them, Sabbath was what, a luxury or a boring rule? No way. For them, it was a gift. In fact, Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I love that, because what He's saying is it was a gift. God gave the Sabbath to the people as a gift. In the New Testament, we don't keep Sabbath anymore. In fact, we see an illustration of that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, where St. John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." The apostles began to call Sunday the Lord's day instead of Saturday, which was the original Sabbath, because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so it's called Sunday, or the Day of the Sun, all right? And so it's also called the Lord's Day in the Scriptures. That's what we keep. We study and we observe Sunday because it's the foundation and the kernel of the whole liturgical year, according to the Catechism. And here it says in 2175 and 2190 that Sunday fulfills the spiritual truth of the Jewish Sabbath and announces man's eternal rest in God. The Sabbath, which represented the completion of the first creation, has been replaced by Sunday, which recalls the new creation inaugurated by the resurrection of Christ. So if you see the schedule of the work week, God created for 7 days or 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And what he's doing is that eighth day then comes to represent the new creation, where, and that's why Jesus rose on the eighth day rather than the seventh day, which would have been Saturday, the original Sabbath. That's the reason, like I said, we don't worship on the original Sabbath, because now we have Christ. Sunday replaces that Old Testament Sabbath by fulfilling the rhythm. Think of this, the rhythm and the spirit of God's command to worship and rest every week. Our Sunday, it's similar to the Sabbath, but it's not the same. We're not Jewish. We're Christian. But our perpetual weekly observance includes, just like theirs did, rest, worship, and a remembrance of God's saving action through Christ on our behalf. Every week, our daily work continues God's work in history and in creation. So like him, we rest. I love that idea. So that just like God, God is always working, yet he's always at rest. Sunday is the happy crown of our work week. Sunday and work are not opposites. We rest like God, we work like God. They complement one another. Sunday reflects the Sabbath feast, a day of obligation that included worship and rest, but Sunday, like the Old Testament worship of the Sabbath, part of our worship is rest, and part of our rest is worship. They are interchangeable. They are interrelated. We need both. We can't have one without the other. Rest is both physical and spiritual. God uses those workplaces of our daily lives as really the primary tool for our spiritual formation. And Sunday helps kind of turn us or reorient us to what God is doing rather than what we've been doing. Our focus is always on what we're doing. And God says Sunday is to interrupt that, to sort of get us to reconsider and to think about how God has been working in us through the past week and what he maybe wants us to do in the coming week. So on Sunday, as we meet in the Mass or in our worship, we're recalling Jesus' work on the cross. And we can participate in that work by receiving the Eucharist and offering our own duties and labors of the week in communion with what he did. If we must work on Sunday, and sometimes people do, like our pastors, Sunday worship remains an obligation. And I know that word, we hate that word, but it's an obligation because we need it. Dear one, don't you need rest? I mean, does your body, in fact, the scriptures themselves tell us over and over and over that when we don't keep Sabbath, we die. We will die if we don't keep the Sabbath. He says it over and over, and it's not because God's going to slap us down. It's because our bodies need, and our souls, not just our bodies, remember they're very interconnected. We need rest. And so God commands it so that we will understand how important it is to our bodies and our souls to set aside a day. If it's not going to be Sunday, we need another day. I know my pastor, because he works on Sunday, he has to, you know, performing the Mass and all the things he does. Wednesday is his holy day or his rest day. Every day really is a holy day for us, but that's his rest day. So to summarize then, the Old Testament Sabbath was the basis of our New Testament, the Old Testament liturgical year, I'm sorry. It established a weekly day of obligation that included rest and worship, and in that rest and worship bubble, they were to remember their salvation. So in Jewish thought, those Sabbath teachings in the Old Testament law were prophetic of what would come through the Messianic kingdom or the Messiah or Christ. Sabbath foreshadowed our own Sunday, and it points us toward that final promised land of rest. And we see that idea in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. There remains another different rest for God's people at the end of the ages, and one which will no longer work. And that, of course, is the beatitude, or heaven. It's enough to know, though, that God is very interested in our rest slash worship slash gathering together, because he emphasizes it a whole in the scriptures over and over and over. So I'd love for you to be able to read all these free, scriptures for you, but if you would like to write them down, I'm going to give you a few. Isaiah 56, 2 and 4, Isaiah 58, 13, Ezekiel 20, verses 12 through 26, and Isaiah 30, 15 all speak about this rest. Until next time, this is Sonia Corbett, your personal scriptural evangelista with Catholic Vitamins.
What a gift. What an absolute gift Sonia Corbett is to Catholic Vitamins and to a number of other people. You know, she's available to come to parishes or chanceries or conferences. And just by way of sharing what came on my heart listening to this segment that she just did, I preached in our parish for the Feast of the Holy Family a week and some days ago. And I talked about attending Mass on Sundays as an act of obedience. And I'm right in stating that it is an act of obedience, obedience to the Church and its directives and whatever. But Sonia just made the idea of God's gift of rest come to life so wonderfully. And she has a newsletter out. If you go to pursuingthesummit.com, you'll be able to read it there. She talks about her Pursuing the Summit daily radio show, which is getting started January 5th. It's on at 11 a.m. Eastern, and you can listen to it online if you want. You can get it streaming to your smart devices. She's also going to be doing a TV series with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He is a joy to listen to. I've listened to many of his talks. And the most amazing thing is, some of you know about Father Larry Richards and his Reason for Our Hope Foundation. Sonia is going to be doing a book and a series of 45-minute talks on DVD, CD, and MP3 audio. And she's going to be partnering with the Father Larry Richards Foundation, the Reason for Our Hope. I'm telling you, we could say that we truly knew Sonia back when, and we're so happy that her ministry is just exploding, and thank you for being a gift on Catholic Vitamins, Sonia. Well, speaking of being a gift, we have a gift coming up, our mystery guest, and we're not going to say any more. Thank you for listening to Catholic Vitamins, and we're really excited to bring you this guest. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we're going to do something a little bit different on the show. Rather than a full reveal of who our guest is, I'm going to start by saying that I was watching the TV one day and I saw a young woman, a lovely young woman named Katie, and I was so taken by, I guess, the spirit or the fervor or the intensity, the truth that I saw in her that I made outreach. She had never heard of me or us before, but she was nice enough to respond as soon as she got the email, and we've been in dialogue for a couple weeks setting this up. So, Katie, you can sign in on the blackboard using your first name, and I'm going to say welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, hi. It's so great to be here, Deacon Tom. My name is Katie, and it looks like I have a lot of podcasts of yours to catch up on, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the show, and we'll do some peeling of the layers of the onion skin as we get started. Why don't we start by asking who Katie was as a young person, what your family of origin was like in your early faith walk?
You bet. Well, I grew up in a family that always went to Sunday Mass. That was kind of part of our regular routine. But I can't say that we were too active beyond that in my very early years. Both of my parents grew up Catholic and knew that they wanted to continue to practice their Catholic faith. But my dad was still a little bit rough around the edges in terms of his life in and outside the home, outside of church. You know, he still kind of swore in traffic a lot, and he was a little bit of a workaholic and a little bit always on edge. So he hadn't given his whole life over to Christ and into the church. So we had definitely a wonderful example of parents who brought us to Mass, but not always much more than that. It was actually a little bit later on, after my dad had a profound conversion to the faith, that we started becoming active as a whole family in our parish. And then as that continued, my own faith kind of began to blossom. And by junior high, I knew that evangelization was something that I not only wanted to be my personal mission as a baptized Catholic, but also my career. So that sort of set me on a journey through high school and college and then eventually graduate school to study the Catholic faith and learn how to better articulate and share it with joy and authenticity to others.
Wonderful. Our Catholic Vitamins podcast is 5.5 years, and our slogan or our words that we use is nourishing your faith from A to Z, and you certainly have started us off talking about nourishing the faith. I think in some notes that you sent me when we were exchanging emails, you sort of talked about a faith explosion around the eighth grade. Do you want to say a few words about what the beginnings of that was?
Oh, right. I'd love to. I still to this day believe that some of the greatest things that ever happened to us are right in front of Jesus in the monstrance. So I happened to be in adoration on a retreat that I was at, and I just had this profound heart-to-heart with Jesus, and I could hear him telling me, come follow me. And I knew that he was asking me to do that in a big way, more than just, you know, be a part of my church, more than just go to Mass on Sundays, but help lead others to me. I want you to follow me with your whole life and your whole heart and everything you are, but I want you to help others do that for me too. And so it was, ever since then, I just became just super on fire to do that. So after my eighth grade retreat, I would wear a huge, you know, St. Benedict's crucifix around my neck so that people in my public high school would ask me questions about the faith, and that would always start really neat and open conversations. And then eventually I started going to daily Mass when I was in high school, and that was a game changer for me. I truly believe that making daily Mass a part of my life for the past 10 years has enriched me in more ways than I could ever describe. And now being a mother, I think that the fruits of those graces from receiving the Eucharist on a regular basis continues to help nourish me in my family life, which I now realize is my most important ministry. But back then, my goal was just to study theology. So I went through high school. I ended up getting my degree in communication and writing in my undergrad, which at the time didn't seem very exciting to me because all I wanted to do was study theology. And I figured, why am I doing this? But when I got to graduate school to study theology at the Augustine Institute, I quickly realized how God's plans are always better than ours. So giving me that background in communication and writing was just a perfect ground for me to jump off of to be able to study the faith and then learn how to communicate that better to others. So it all started back in the eighth grade, though, when I was sitting in front of the Eucharist, and the Lord just made it clear that he wanted me to serve him and that he gave me very particular gifts that he didn't want me to keep to myself. And so that's something I continue to take very seriously, that whatever blessings I've been given by God are never mine, that they're his, that he's lending to me, and that I want to be able to use those to help my family first and others as well.
Praise God, Katie. Praise God. You mentioned the Augustine Institute. Was that in Denver?
It was, yes. It's a fantastic school, which fortunately has so many programs where people can get involved in learning Catholic theology from their own couch. Now with their new program out called Symbolon, which is an adult faith formation program, they do a fabulous job teaching. And I was so blessed to be asked to be a part of that Symbolon faith formation series and another program they have called Opening the Word, which gives reflections on the Sunday and weekly readings. And they've really inspired so many people beyond just their graduate students to learn how to better know and love and live out their Catholic faith. So it was an incredible school to be a part of.
Well, although I'm speaking to you today from North Central Arizona. We lived for quite a few years in Estes Park, and I was formed 4 years as a deacon down in Denver at the Archdiocese of Denver. And
Oh, wow.
And so we have some common roots. I don't know if we ever passed each other in the hall years ago, but...
Yeah, no, actually, Deacon Tom, Denver will always be so near and dear to my heart. It was so hard to leave there when my husband and I were getting married, and his job was out here in California. So I left begrudgingly from Denver, but I actually was born and raised in Arizona. So we have more connections in our past than you realize.
Oh, great. All right. Well, let's do another layer of the onion skin. You mentioned husband and family. Why don't we just do that and give your last name?
Oh, you bet. So I was actually studying in graduate school at the Augustine Institute when my best friend's brother came into town to visit her. And long story short, ended up liking my best friend's brother. So he and I started dating long distance, and I eventually married into the Warner family. So my full name now is Katie Warner. And he and I had a lot of conversations about some ministry opportunities that I had in Denver at the time. But after much prayer and reflection, that was the first opportunity that God gave me to really teach me that my first and primary ministry is family life. So saying yes to that involved me moving out here to California, which was a big adjustment. But it's amazing that when you put God's priorities first, he really opens doors for a lot of other opportunities that you never thought you would have. So since I've been here in California, I've still been able to do much ministry work. Some of that being with the ministry that I worked for several years called Catholics Come Home.
There you go. There you go. All right. Before we leave family situation, I was going to sing happy birthday to your son, but he's not with you today. But you have a son, and his nickname is
RJ. He's actually a fourth. He's Raymond Joseph Warner the Fourth, and he turned one just the other day. So I have been in crazy mommy mode planning his first birthday party coming this weekend. So we have two big birthdays coming up, RJ's and then Jesus's, which is obviously much bigger, but it's amazing how much effort you could put into a first birthday party.
All right. So a second ago, you sort of took off a big layer of onion skin, and you mentioned Catholics Come Home. So let's complete the introduction to who Katie is and tell what's your connection with Catholics Come Home.
You bet. So the exciting part about my faith journey was that, how I mentioned, my dad had a big conversion to the faith and ended up getting us all much more involved with Catholicism in the church. Is the fact that my dad happens to be Tom Peterson, the founder and president of Catholics Come Home. I'm the eldest of his three daughters. And when I was young, my dad went on a men's retreat and had a profound reversion to the Catholic faith. And at that point, felt like the Lord was really calling him to use his gifts in media and advertising for his glory. So my dad founded a pro-life apostolate called Virtue Media and began producing and airing television commercials that literally helped and continue to help thousands of women choose life for their unborn babies and to educate the public about the importance of the sanctity of life. And so from probably the age of 10, I was standing at the back of parishes, handing out envelopes for Virtue Media, helping him on all of his commercial shoots and being a part of that wonderful ministry, which I'm still a part of today, praise God, in a much more exciting capacity. I did enjoy handing out envelopes and recording check donation amounts, but I've moved on to a little bit more challenging things. And after that, about 10 or so years later, was when my dad felt a call to start Catholics Come Home. So he ran his first campaign, obviously with great help from the Holy Spirit and his team, in the Diocese of Phoenix in 1998, and then brushed it off actually it was in 2000 for the Jubilee year, got a little bit of a head start on filming, but then several years later decided to turn it into a national and international organization. So I now work as the part-time manager of communication and evangelization for Catholics Come Home, and my primary responsibilities are helping to help with a lot of the content. I help edit a lot of the evangelical scripts. I am a point person of contact for people who email us inquiring how they can come home, how they can better evangelize their loved ones who are away from the church, what to do when they're coming home and they haven't been to confession in years, all of those sorts of questions, and also send out a lot of our email communications and our social media. And it has been the most incredible blessing in my life to, for the past decade or so, help people on their journey home to the church and to see when those people have come home, the joy and the peace that it brings to their lives when they found the truth of Christ and the home where he wants them to be. So I have my dad a lot to thank for my upbringing in him saying yes to the Lord. It became a profound example for me so that I could also say yes to the Lord in my own life and in the ministry work that he wanted me to do for him.
You know, Katie, I just really, really felt that I didn't even know that you were the daughter of Tom. And you know he's been a guest on our show. I'm really very tender about the Catholics Come Home ministry. And I know it's reached a lot of people, but it was just sort of like ordained. I think the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, pay attention to what this lady is saying on TV, and then try to reach her. It's so beautiful that we were able to connect with you and that you were willing to do this. And it was such a gift to have your dad on the show some time ago. We'll put a link on our face page for this show to the one when your dad was on. What's going on with Catholics Come Home these days?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. There are so many amazingly exciting things going on right now, Deacon Tom. I will say it. I do believe it was totally the Holy Spirit's movement that brought us together, and it's been such a joy for me to come on your show, knowing that my dad spoke so highly of both you and Dee when he was on your show not too long ago. Right now, we actually just wrapped up our 13-week series on EWTN. Our television series detailed the coming home stories of 13 different people who were aided on their journey home to the Catholic Church, thanks in part to Catholics Come Home. So these people either saw our commercials or stumbled on our website and then eventually made their way back to their local parish, and they tell their stories in this series. If you missed it on EWTN, people can actually order the whole series from our website, catholicscomehome.org, or they can go to EWTN page, and there's a Catholics Come Home playlist there, and they can watch all of the episodes. And in addition to their stories, there are actually some segments that teach you how to better evangelize, including my video segment, which is what you ended up seeing on TV that brought us in contact with each other, praise God. So in addition to that, we actually, during Advent, have been running our new evangelical called Santa's Priority, which is a Keep Christ in Christmas-themed evangelical. Extremely powerful. I'm obviously biased, but it's the best Christmas commercial I've ever seen on TV. Mm-hmm. And we've been airing in national cable prime time on pop, you know, holiday movies and popular stations. We actually, if you want to see it on the big screen on, you know, on your TV at home, we'll be on the show Home for the Holidays tomorrow night, Friday night, between 9:17 and 9:21 on CBS. But throughout the leading up until Christmas, the commercial will be airing, and then you can also catch it on YouTube or on our Vimeo page, and hopefully share it with your friends and family on Facebook and other social media outlets. It's truly a beautiful commercial that reminds us that the reason for the Christmas season is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Coming of our Lord. And in this time when we're all so tied up in gift giving and party planning and wrapping and all those things, it's helpful to be reminded that it's really all about Christ. So such a beautiful commercial. And we also have some special presentations on EWTN that talk about the making of the commercial. So since we started airing Santa's Priority, Deacon Tom, the fruits have been incredible. My email inbox has been absolutely flooded with people who are seeing the ads and wanting to come home to the church after being away for years, decades. I mean, it's truly incredible. People just saying, hey, you know, I haven't, you know, I feel like I have so many sins that the Lord could never forgive. What do I do? I want to come home. Will the church even accept me? I mean, just these beautiful, heartfelt emails that I just feel so blessed and privileged to be a part of their journey and coming back and telling them, absolutely, the Lord wants you back. We, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, miss you and we want you home, not just for this Christmas, but for thereafter. So many exciting things going on with Catholics Come Home right now. It's so cool to be a small part of it.
Amen. Amen. You're making me very tender, Katie, really very tender. You had mentioned that you're working on a book. You want to say anything about that, even though it's kind of early?
Oh, yeah, no, I would love to. Thank you, Deacon Tom. I never wanted to write a book just to write a book, but the Holy Spirit really opened the door on a topic that was very near and dear to me. I had an author friend of mine, Randy Hain, who's written a number of phenomenal Catholic books, encourage me to write a book. And I told him, okay, you know, I just really want to wait for the Holy Spirit's cue. Well, on Holy Thursday last year, my husband opened up to me. We were talking about raising our family and having strong spiritual leadership in our home. And my husband, in a very vulnerable moment, told me that he wants to be that spiritual head of our family, but he just doesn't know what that looks like. So I set out on a quest to help my husband and I learn what does it mean to be a strong spiritual leader for your family. So over the past 6 months, I've interviewed dozens of couples and individuals who I believe are very strong spiritual leaders in their own family, and I'm telling their stories and also including a lot of my own kind of theological background that I've learned in school and tying everything together with the wisdom of the church and these stories and some of my own kind of experiences from daily life, and writing all of that down in a book that'll be coming out hopefully sometime mid to late next year with Emmaus Road Publishing. So people can watch out for that, especially by going to my website, CatholicKatie.com. I have an email list on my homepage that you can sign up for and be notified when the book is coming out. So I haven't turned in the manuscript yet, so it still has a little ways to go, and the Holy Spirit's still kind of working out all the editing details, and hopefully we'll tie a pretty bow on it soon. But I'm very, very excited, not just to be able to implement what I've learned in my own family life, but to share that with others. I know, due to my age, I have, you know, people looking at me, what could you possibly have to say? You're so young. And I wrote this book not because I have something to say, but because I have something to learn. And so what I've learned, I am so, so excited and privileged to be able to share with other people. So I'm hoping that next year I'll be able to join with others in making big changes in my family life to become a stronger spiritual leader in my home.
Katie, how do you do all of what you're doing? How are you getting it all done?
That's a good question. You know, Deacon Tom, years ago, I was sitting in the Adoration Chapel as a very stressed out high schooler during exam week. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart saying, you make time for me, I'll make time for the rest. And I have to continually remind myself of that, that if I rearrange my priorities to put God first, then He'll allow everything else to fall into place. And in the moments when I'm getting stressed because I haven't done enough of my book writing, or I haven't gotten my article into the National Catholic Register, or I haven't answered my Catholics Come Home emails yet, my son will fall asleep for 2 hours in my baby carrier and everything will get done. So I just make sure that I take time for prayer and to truly believe that, you know, the Lord has a plan for me, even in the smallest parts of my day, that He has His will and His plan. And if I put Him first and I seek to glorify Him, that He will allow everything to fall into place as it needs to be. So praise God that He has things way more under control than I ever do.
Well, this sort of relates to something that I didn't brief you on before we started the show, but we're sort of topic driven on Catholic Vitamins. We use a letter of the alphabet sequentially, A, B, C, D. We started years ago, 5.5 years ago, with vitamin A for adoration, and we had the priest who had a powerful experience when he was at a Steubenville youth event in Michigan, when he was a teenager, and that started him on his journey towards the priesthood. And wow. today's vitamin is, in fact, vitamin A for awareness. And you have so much in your journey story talked about the awareness of God in your life, the presence of Jesus in your life. And you too, for you, it started with adoration. At least that's where you began to unfold the eighth grade era that you were involved in. So awareness is an important part of our journey, our faith journey, being aware of when God is speaking to you or when he wants to speak to you. And adoration is certainly one of the places. The Mass is another one. And when baby is sleeping, there's a chance to be aware that you've got some things to do. So.
No, it actually kind of gave me chills, Deacon Tom, when you told me what the vitamin was for the day. Like you said, I didn't know, and it truly amazes me, not only the times in my life when I've been aware that God's speaking to me, but also how important it's been for me to have an awareness of the times that I know God is there and I know that he's working in my life, even when I feel like I can't hear him or feel his presence. When you walk with the Lord for a long time, I'm sure your listeners can relate. We just have times when we feel like, where'd you go, God? Haven't heard from you in a while. Am I doing what you want? Am I pleasing you? What do I do next? What direction do I turn in? And we have those moments of spiritual dryness that we're just trying to claw our way through. And I've had so many of those in the past 10 years. But what's gotten me through is that awareness that the Lord has not left my side. And that even if I can't see him or hear him or really feel his presence, that he's there and he's guiding me, and that I need to trust that he has his plan that's unfolding for me. And that usually it's not until sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years later that I can look back and see what he had going on at that time in my life, why I was going through, and how he was with me and he was there, more present than I could have ever imagined. So amen for vitamin A, because I could still use a lot more of it in my life.
Well, our guest has been Katie Warner. Let me see if I get your title correct. You're the director of communication and evangelization. Is that right?
Yes, for Catholics Come Home.
For
and then
Catholics.
In addition, besides being a full-time wife and mom, I do writing and speaking on the side. So God is good. I get to have my foot in every ministry work that I love.
Yeah. Now, before we say goodbye, I want to revisit two things. Websites. You mentioned CatholicKatie.com. Did I get that correct?
CatholicsComeHome.org is our website for Catholics Come Home. And then, yes, CatholicKatie.com is my personal website where I have a lot of my writings, and then my email list that you can sign up for.
Okay, great. And then about travel, if someone, and I couldn't believe that somebody wouldn't be fired up after hearing you, but if somebody wanted to make outreach to you or consider bringing you to a parish or some organization, how would they do that?
Oh, wonderful. On my website, there's actually an about or a contact page, and you can contact me through there. And my email is CatholicKatieOnline@gmail.com. But if you aren't able to write that down as you're listening or make memory of it, then you can find that at my website, CatholicKatie.com. And I would love to hear from you if you've heard the show. So my favorite thing to do is to dialogue with people, and also just become prayer partners with people all around the country and around the world who've maybe read something or heard me somewhere and then want to pray for each other. So I would love to pray for you if you'd like to reach out to me, and hope that you will pray for my family and I as well.
Katie, we will. We do this. We say this often. We will keep you in our prayers. Will you prayerfully try to remember Catholic Vitamins when your book comes out?
Oh, absolutely, Deacon Tom. It was such a blessing to speak with you today, and I would be more than happy to pray for you and to reach out to you when that special publishing day comes next year.
All right. Blessings, Katie. Thanks for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you, Deacon Tom. God bless.
Well, if Katie Warner wasn't a great, awesome kickoff to 2015, I just don't know who we could have brought you that could be any more exciting and fun to listen to and inspiring. Now, some of the things that we covered, because we recorded this before Christmas, are a little bit dated, but I hope you won't let that stop you from being a supporter of the Catholics Come Home ministry that she's involved with. Please go to their website, and we'll put a link to that in the face page for this show. And I've been on Katie's site, CatholicKatie.com, and there's just some wonderful writing that she's done there and some people she's been able to interview. I just know that you'll want to know more and more about her and get to know her better, maybe start emailing back and forth as she suggested. There's a great quote that I'll put on the face page for the show from Katie about her desire, her greatest desire in life. And boy, thank you for the gift of your witness, Katie, and thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins. Now, another great gift that we have, another great gift, is our relationship with award-winning journalist Mariana Bartholomew from Chicago. She never fails, and here she is.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. The snow is lightly falling here. This pure, bright blanket is being handled pretty well by the traffic on the busy street out our window. The plows have done their job. People are slowing to match conditions. Sometimes I look around these busy Chicago-area streets and notice that for the most part, as much as we like to shudder over the so-called crazy drivers, most are stopping at traffic lights, following the rules of the road. My husband and I just watched a travel program that featured Egypt, and the driving was an astonishing tangle. In many nations, roads resemble marketplaces with cars angling in from all directions, livestock and pedestrians mixing in. When everyone follows their own route, disregards the rules, traffic can slow into an agonizing mess. Think of tightly run organizations, the Marines, top-notch marching bands, high-caliber symphony orchestras. All these groups operate under certain disciplines. Groups that are too loosey-goosey tend to dissolve in time. Traveling through Bible Belt areas and meeting remote missionaries there, I learned how certain non-Catholic locals felt they had received a vision and then founded a little chapel in their garage. These Bible-based churches attracted congregations according to the personalities involved, the vision of the new pastors, but were known to proliferate and then have only limited shelf life, so to say. Locals would get involved with practices like snake handling or picking up wood-burning stoves with bare hands to show their faith in God. And they were well-meaning, trying to step out in faith boldly, but not attached to the solid vine of the church Jesus established, with its head descended from Peter. We can be so grateful that within the Catholic Church we have a solid head, with predecessors going all the way back to the Apostle Peter, appointed by Christ himself. We have a hierarchy and a church mother that Jesus promised would withstand the gates of hell. We have disciplines and certain parameters, but we also have mystery and freedom of the Holy Spirit, who manifests in so many creative and surprising ways through saints and faithful through the ages. Just as little ones need predictable bedtimes, nourishing meals, we the faithful are drawn into certain rhythms and disciplines that draw us into holiness and whole living. But it's all a balance. I've seen in the ebb and flow of missionaries' daily lives a certain structure that acts like the frame of a house upon which every part of the structure hangs. Daily Mass, morning and evening prayer, and a balance between active outreach and contemplation. No successful missionary felt a day should be all activity. They carved out time for Eucharistic adoration, praying the rosary, time with Scripture, time just to connect deeply with God. Around healthy parameters is balance and freedom to choose creative ways of doing God's good will. Our calling might look radically different than our neighbors, just as a Trappist monk's day is night and day from the life of a medical mission sister's. A friend recently posted on Facebook the so-called proper table setting. So many various wine, sherry, and other glasses were needed, plus multiple utensils for each dish served. I couldn't resist posting a reply that in some parts of the world, the proper setting was a plantain leaf, and good etiquette required eating with the right-hand fingers, no utensils needed. The world is a big place, with many cultures to learn about and appreciate. So also within the church are many beautiful pathways, in union with God's will, faithful to the magisterium, but for us to discover and follow while we foremost try to follow the rule of charity within our families and neighborhoods. Just as we can be grateful for the smooth flowing traffic on our roads, we can be grateful for this church Jesus established to mother and uplift us. It's not without many flaws and imperfections, as human natures vie with the divine. But as 2015 dawns, it's nice to remember the advice of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever modest, whatsoever just, whatsoever holy, whatsoever lovely, whatsoever of good fame, if there be any virtue, if any praise of discipline, think on these things. This new year, we can put parameters more solidly into place that will then free us to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit more faithfully. If we carve out times for morning and evening prayer, prepare well for and reverently attend Mass and receive the sacraments, that's a good solid foundation and frame for the structure of our lives. It's easy today to find good spiritual reading. We can visit a site online like Universalis, which presents the saint of the day and the prayers and readings of the Liturgy of the Hours. And we can put special effort into hearing and following the words of our leader, Pope Francis. He recently met with Vatican employees and shared advice with them, very much like New Year's resolutions. Following this advice would shine a light into our families, neighborhoods, and world. First, he said, take care of your spiritual life, your relationship with God, because this is the backbone of everything we do and everything we are. Take care of your family life, giving your children and loved ones not just money, but most of all your time, attention, and love. Take care of your relationships with others, transforming your faith into life and your words into good works, especially on behalf of the needy. Be careful how you speak. Purify your tongue of offensive words, vulgarity, and worldly decadence. Heal wounds of the heart with the oil of forgiveness, forgiving those who have hurt us and medicating the wounds we have caused others. Look after your work, doing it with enthusiasm, humility, competence, passion, and with a spirit that knows how to thank the Lord. Be careful of envy, lust, hatred, and negative feelings that devour our interior peace and transform us into destroyed and destructive people. Watch out for anger that can lead to vengeance, for laziness that leads to existential euthanasia, for pointing the finger at others, which leads to pride, and for complaining continually, which leads to desperation. Take care of brothers and sisters who are weaker, the elderly, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, and strangers, because we will be judged on this. So thank you, Lord, for 2015. Thank you for the church that mothers us, and your Holy Spirit who leads us into many wonderful, faith-filled adventures. May we all glorify Jesus in this new year.
The gift of Mary Anna Bartholomew to Catholic Vitamins, the gift of Sonia and her pursuing the summit ministry and the teachings that she's leading us through, the teachings about the scripture and about the liturgy cycle that we have of worship in the church, and teaching us about the excitement of honoring God's command to honor the Sabbath day, to rest on the Sabbath day. It's just a great joy to do Catholic Vitamins. And then Katie Warner coming on the show.
They are all wonderful. You know, they're all like getting big Christmas gifts wrapped with big bows under our tree.
All right. What do you have there?
I have a little bit of feedback from some of our listeners. We heard from Mary Ellen in Ohio.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
She's been a friend of ours on our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page for a while. She said, Merry Christmas to you both. Just wanted to thank you for your sweet treats that were delivered yesterday. She was one who got some of my candies.
Oh, yeah. Well, those aren't exactly the sweet treats.
That's not the legitimate Catholic Vitamin sweet treats, no.
No, but we're so glad that you enjoyed the custom candies that Dee prepared for some of our listeners.
She says, I'll be taking them to a friend's house with my platter on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. She also asked for prayers for her husband, who had been diagnosed with an illness, serious illness.
All right.
And we will definitely pray for him, have prayed for him. Okay, next one we have here. We got a little one from Holly in California. Merry Christmas. Have a happy new year. Enjoy your small break. Thank you for your continued blessings upon your listeners. parishioners, and those who happen upon you in daily life. That was nice, Holly. Thank you. And then we heard from our friend Ebeth in North Carolina. She says, hopefully you'll remember me. It's been a while since I last talked with you. I've gotten a full-time job and travel over an hour to a few of my stores, so I'm able to pray the rosary and listen to a few of my favorite podcasts, including yours.
Well, thank you for that, Ebeth.
She asked to be put in the drawing for Aaron's ring, and her name's already in there.
Speaking of friends, Dee, we have a couple new friends to join us on the Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. They are Laura Pearl.
Hey, well, that's a
famous author. Wow. And Mary Lou Hansard, a friend from Colorado. So thank you both for joining. And so there's a couple ways you can be in touch with us. One is to send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And if you're interested in our book drawing, the free book drawing for Aaron's Ring, just put that as the subject and send it. And Dee will put your name into a basket. We'll do the drawing in a couple, three shows. Mm-hmm. And you could also be a friend on Facebook, Friend of Catholic Vitamins on Facebook. And sometimes people share some things there, which we respond to. And we also do some special things once in a while.
Yeah, and it's a way for people who are on Facebook to know what we're up to. We sometimes give a little announcements about things that are coming up.
I don't know if we have anything more to do before we wrap up. I just want to say that we're going to hear the seminarians from the Archdiocese of Denver doing Panis Angelicus after we do the close of our show. And I'm looking over our face page for the show, and oh, yes, Vita Scrabble. We haven't done Vita Scrabble.
Leave me something important out here. The vitamin for next time will be Catholic vitamin B, ends in G, nine letters.
And the way it works, if you're new to Catholic Vitamins and wondering what is this prattle and all that stuff that they do, Vita Scrabble is our tease for the upcoming show. Take a guess at what the B, as in boy, word is, ending in G, nine letters. And send that guess in to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And those who do that successfully with the right guess go into a basket, and then we pull a name and send that person something meaningful and something sweet.
Right.
Is that it?
That's it.
Well, dear friends, join us next week. God willing, we'll see you on Catholic Vitamins for Vitamin B. And thank you for being with us this week.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.